kind of a fresh start. And as I said, this being our bicentennial year here in America, I'm sure it will be exceptionally interesting. And I thought that this morning, on the first Lord's Day of our new year, we'd look at four words that give us the secret for a good year. Now, you want a good year. All of us want this to be a good year. It may be our last. And I believe that we can do no better than read the first four words in our Bible. And I believe that those first four words give us just as clearly as we could possibly have stated the secret of a good year. And that secret, of course, is a good beginning. A good beginning means so much. And we have here, then, in the opening of our Bible, "In the beginning, God." Now, that's what I'd like to leave with you. You won't have any difficulty remembering the verse, its location, or its wording. "In the beginning, God." Now, let's put it this way. In the beginning of the year, God. Is that true of you? Are you really beginning this year with God? To narrow it down a little more, are you beginning this year with God's forgiveness? Do you know, as you sit there on that pew, that you are moving into 1976 as a forgiven sinner? Can you very briefly look back, very quickly, look back in your life to that time when you came to know Christ as your Savior? Your sins were forgiven. The past was blotted out. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, if there isn't an experience like that, my friend, I trust there will be this first Lord's Day of 1976. In the beginning, God. Don't you think it's time, after all these wasted years, for you just to stop right now? Even if we had to stop this service, it'd be well worth it. Don't you think you should stop right now and correct that mistake that you've been making for quite a number of years of leaving God out of your life? Now, you know whether you have God in your life or not. You know whether you are saved or not. You know whether your sins are forgiven or not. I don't have to labor that. You know that. And you know that you should have God. You know that you should be saved. You know that you should have your sins forgiven. But like so many, and possibly all of us here were included in that group for some years at least, it's so easy just to put it off. Put it off and put it off. Well, I have certain plans. I have certain problems I want to attend to first. And after that, no. That's what you've been doing all the time. Now let's stop this Sunday morning after that business. And right now, right where you sit, the best thing you could do, if you've never done in your life, is to bow your head and your heart right now and tell God that you're a lost sinner, that you need to be saved, but you believe Christ died for you. And right now, this Lord's Day morning of 1976, you are going to accept Him as your Savior. Now do that, my friend. You see, this matter of being saved is a matter of the heart. There are outward expressions at the time or later or both. But basically, it's a matter of the heart. And the reason you are not saved, if you're not, is because your heart has been closed to Christ. Whatever your mind has been thinking, Whatever your lips have been saying, it's a matter of your heart being closed to Christ. Well, of course, the way to correct that then is to open that heart and let the Lord Jesus Christ come in. You say, well, how can I do that? You can do that by reversing what you've been saying up until now. When the claims of Christ have been pressed on you by the Holy Spirit, either in a service like this, or when you've been alone by yourself, you've been saying, no, you didn't say it right out loud because you wouldn't quite go that far. But in your heart, you've been saying, no, I will not yield to Christ. Now you see, the way to rectify that mistake is to reverse that and to say, yes, I will accept Christ as my Savior. And then, my friend, you'll enter on this year with the joy of God's forgiveness. And there's nothing greater, there's nothing better than to know that that load of unforgiven sin is gone and gone forever. Let me give you just one verse. You'll find it in your Bible in Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe, not that work, or join, or get baptized, or turn over newly, but by him, all that believe, are justified from all things. That's even better than forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven, but they're blotted out, and the very charge against you is removed. Now, what grander way could you begin this year than in that way? But let's go a little further. Many of you are saved. Many of you are sitting there saying, well, Mr. McKay, I haven't been saved quite as long as you have, for I'm not quite as old as you are. Nevertheless, I am saved. I was saved last year, or I was saved 10 years ago, or I've been saved 20 years ago, or some time. I'm saved. Now, do I need forgiveness? Yes, you do. So far as the judicial forgiveness of your sins are concerned, that's a once-for-all matter. You come before God as a guilty sinner. You acknowledge your sin, and you accept Christ, and you are forgiven, and that is once and for all. Those sins will never be charged against your record as guilt. But when you accepted Christ, you were born into his family. You became his child. And not one of us here this morning would dare for a moment even to think, let's say, that we didn't sin during 1975. We did. We didn't deliberately sin. None of us that is saved here this morning deliberately went out and lived a life of sin during 75. If we did, it was a proof that our profession of faith in Christ was false, that we sinned. Now, as children in the family of God, our sins in that way do not affect our relationship. I reared three boys, and I can assure you they sinned. But they were always my sons. No matter what they did, no matter how grievous it was in my sight, it did not alter our relationship. They were my sons and I was their father. But what they did, which was wrong according to my principles, which were based on the Word of God, that marred our fellowship. They felt wrong toward me. And I felt wrong toward them. I loved them. They loved me. But this business of wrongdoing had brought a cloud between us. And until that was settled, then there couldn't be that happy fellowship and friendship and enjoyment, that freeness with one another that there had been up until that had occurred. Now that's a little illustration what happens in the family of God. You and I, in God's family, we sin. Now, don't just forget it. Don't just go on. If you do, you'll waste a lot of valuable time. That's why I want to take a few moments to talk about this right here. We want to enter into this new year, we who are saved, in fellowship with the Lord. Forgiveness to begin with. Fellowship to go on with. Now you can't have fellowship with God if there's unconfessed sin in your life. I don't care how loud you sing. I don't care how loud you laugh. I don't care what you do. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, fellowship between you and your Heavenly Father has been broken. And all the time that is spent out of fellowship with God the Father is not spent, it's wasted. Now let's not waste any more time, friends. You and I who are saved, let's be sure that as we have come now to this fourth day of the new year, let's be sure that we're not going any further in the year with unconfessed sin on our hearts and conscience. Well, you say, what shall I do? God has told us what to do. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 we read, if any man sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we're to do. We're to confess our sin. Now, confessing your sin just doesn't mean saying, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that. That's very easy. Confessing your sin is acknowledging to your Father in heaven what you did when you did it. That's confession. And then forsaking it. Not saying I'm sorry and then just going on the way you were before. No. It means an honest confession to the Lord of what you did and then a forsaking of it by the help of God. Now, that's what we should have. In the beginning of the year, God's forgiveness, God's fellowship. Is there any better way that we could start out this year? I believe, my friends, if all of us experience that this morning, this could be the greatest year we have ever had. But I want to come a little closer. Because, you know, the year is a long time, even though it does slip by rapidly, it seems. Let's think of it this way. In the beginning of the month, God. Now, according to our calendar, the year has been divided into 12 months, and I'm always thankful for that. Because I think at the beginning of a month, we sort of stop again, and we begin to make some plan for that month. Now, most months, or many months, have something outstanding in them. Maybe it's a birthday. Maybe it's an anniversary. Maybe it's something else that you're particularly interested in. And you come to the first day of the month, and you think, well, now, on the 11th, that's my birthday. And on the 18th, that's my anniversary. And somehow or other, you begin to plan and think and arrange things in relation to that, or it may be some other outstanding events. May I ask all of us, the beginning of each month, to stop and say, in the beginning of the month, God. How much of God am I going to have in this month? I wonder when a month comes around, if you say to yourself, I'm going to give the things of God priority this month. Now, birthday's interesting and important. So is an anniversary. But there's something more important, and that's giving God the priority. Are we ready to do that? You know, there's a Wednesday night prayer meeting here four times every month. Do you take that into consideration when you're planning your month's activities? Well, I can't do that on Wednesday night because that's a prayer meeting. No, I'm sorry, I can't come over for that evening. Well, why not? That's prayer meeting. That's giving God the priority. And God will honor. It makes it difficult. And you'd be amazed at how many things will be arranged on a Wednesday night. And in our family, we never permitted a PTA meeting or a basketball game or anything else at the school to take precedence over prayer meeting. Why? Because the Bible says in the beginning, God. And when you honor God, God will take care of you. If there are certain special activities that are planned during the month that are particularly related to God and the things of God, do you take those into consideration first of all in planning your month schedule? I hope you will. Try it out in 76. In the beginning of the month, God. What is there that we are going to set aside in a special way this month for God? But even a month is rather lengthy sometimes, and our calendar again is divided into weeks. In the beginning of the week, God. Friends, I feel that I need to say a little about the Lord's Day. For I believe that Sunday is much more a fun day to most people than it is the Lord's Day. Now, you can't change the world, and I'm not going to attempt that. But I do believe that for Christians, the first day of the week should be the Lord's Day. And I don't believe we should spend the Lord's Day the way we spend other days of the week. If we can't give one day out of seven to the Lord, there's something wrong with our priorities. And I believe that if we give God the first day of the week, God will see to it that in the other six, there'll be more for us than if we tried to get the whole seven. John the Beloved was in the Isle of Patmos, and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, if you and I are just on the Spirit on the Lord's Day, I believe that would take care of everything. The Lord's Day brings to the Christian the privilege of the Lord's Supper, remembering the Lord on the first day of the week. Do we do that regularly, faithfully, out of love to the Lord? It brings the privilege of other services, such as this one, the Sunday school, the other activities of this day that we do not have except on the Lord's Day. I believe if we carry out our text, in the beginning, God, we will see to it that the things of God are put first on the Lord's Day. You say, well now, Mr. McKay, that's awfully old-fashioned. It's not only old-fashioned, it's scriptural. You see? So being called old-fashioned doesn't worry me one single bit. You know, when they want to tell you how good a loaf of bread is, they say it's old-fashioned bread. You know, they don't come out with a big ad, newfangled bread. No, old-fashioned bread like Grandma used to bake. Well, it's good enough for Grandma, it's good enough for us. I tell you, when you sink your teeth into some of that old-fashioned Grandma's bread, it's a lot different than some of the newfangled, isn't it? It isn't a question of what's old-fashioned or new-fashioned, it's a question of what's Scripture. It's a question of what honors God. And I am fully convinced that the greatest principle that we can inculcate in the minds of our young people is this: them that honor God, I will honor. Now, my dear mother has been home in glory for a good many years now. Every time anything came up, that's the verse she quoted me: them that honor God, I will honor. And I'm here to tell you after 50 years that God has honored me a whole lot more than I've honored Him. Any little bit of honoring I've given to God, I've gotten so much more back in return. But if we honor God, He will honor us. And I believe He intended that the Lord's day should be kept as the day of the Lord. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the apostle's instructing the Christians there, on the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. The early church not only came together to remember the Lord on the first day of the week, but they laid aside personally, individually, in their own homes, before the Lord, that which belonged to Him. And it was according to as God had prospered them. And setting that aside, that became the Lord's portion. Now I believe fully in that. Now I believe that God honors that. God doesn't intend you to pay the rent and the car payment and all the rest, and then if you have to a little bit less, give it to the Lord. My friends, God's not a pauper. He doesn't need your dimes, your leftover. You've heard the little boy. And they caught him just in time. He was taking the Christmas turkey out to his dog. And they caught him in time. And after they'd all had a feast, then they said, "No, okay, Johnny, you can gather up the bones now." And he gathered up the bones. And he took it out to his dog. And he was heard to say, "I'm sorry, I wanted to give you an offering, but the best I could get was a collection." Now, I'm afraid sometimes the Lord gets the bones, doesn't he? 500 dollars. I think you got a second-hand one for that, for a colored TV. And almost a heart failure if they give the Lord $5. You know, friends, we've got a great God. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't. It's an honor that He would accept anything from me. But what a privilege I have of giving to Him. And if I give to Him regularly and systematically, we'll prove His faithfulness to us. I've had the privilege for 50, almost 50 years now, 48 years come this year, I've had the privilege of living by faith. I have not been guaranteed $1 by any man, organization, church, or anything in the whole world. Never have for 48 years. And I found God faithful. And I have found that whenever there's something in that box that belongs to the Lord, There's something in my pocket to meet the needs of each day. Yes, in the beginning of the week, oh, my brethren and sisters, I speak here from my heart. Let's give God the first day of the week. You can translate it into your own home and into your family and into your affairs. That's up to you. It's not for me to spell all this out to you. You don't need it. What I'm speaking about is a principle. In the beginning of the week, God. Don't have a game of golf. I'm sorry. Why? It's the Lord's Day. Well, you say, why can't I use the Lord's Day to play golf? Would you use the Lord's money to buy golf clubs with? Oh, no. When I give that money to Him, I wouldn't buy golf clubs with it. I'd use it in the things of the Lord. Okay, apply that same principle to your time. And I believe the more we give the Lord's Day to Him, the more He will bless us. Now, these just are plain, homey truths that are on my heart that I want to try and get across to you on this, the first day of the first Lord's Day of the new year. I think, brethren and sisters, everything about us on the Lord's Day should indicate that it is the Lord's Day. I was visiting in another city, and I was invited home for dinner. The reason I was invited home was I had promised to fill in for the brother who was going to perform the wedding of this young woman. Well, if I'd known what I did a little later, I'd out very much if I'd have done the filling in. You know, she was out Sunday morning. My, what a nice-looking young lady. What a nice-looking young lady. We went home for dinner, and she disappeared in her room. And she came out in 5 minutes looking like something that had come from the Salvation Army back room where she'd been outfitted. It was really something. On the Lord's Day, I almost fell over. Now, that's the kind of costume I used to get first prize at the Halloween parties that I attended. Yeah. I went to a Halloween party and got first prize one time. There was a beautiful young lady there, and I asked her if I could walk her home. She looked at me. She said, like that? No, thank you. I've seen worse over in Friendly Shopping Center. I don't know how you'd win a prize at a Halloween party nowadays, I'm sure of it. But brethren and sisters, this is the Lord's Day. Let's keep it the Lord's Day. I want to look like a Christian all the time. I want to act like a Christian. I want to speak like a Christian. Now, if you want to do something else, that's entirely in you. I'm just giving you some suggestions and some advice after these years of experience. In the beginning of the day, God. Oh, that's it. If the day is right, the week will be right. If the week's right, the month will be right. If the month's right, the year will be right. If the year's right, the life will be right. So I see we get right down to the day. Do we begin the day right? I like to think that when my eyes open in the morning, after a night of rest, my first thought are toward God. I like to spend those first few moments in my bed just communing silently with my God. Only He and I know. And only He knows what lies ahead of me that day. And only He can guide me and direct me. But if in the beginning of the day, brethren and sisters, we give God the first place, that will be a good day. May I take time in closing to read you two poems. Sometimes a gifted poet can just put in a few lines what it takes us preachers a long time to say. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered, All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with a presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. If you seek him in the morning, you will find him through the day. And here's the difference. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I couldn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I wonder if we're really beginning the days with God. Do we take time in the morning to pray with our children before they go off to school? Do we take time to implant just a little bit into their mind and heart? Now, I grew up in the days when the preachers stayed in our home. And I'll tell you, those old-time preachers, they gave you a sermon at breakfast time. And we had a job getting to school on time. And I can remember one dear old brother there. Once he got started now, the only one that could stop him was his wife. And I can hear her, yeah, dear old soul, she'd say, be brief, John, be brief. The children have to go to school. Yes, you can't take time for a long Bible study. But I wouldn't like to let my children go out of our home without prayer anymore. You can always take time over the breakfast cereal. You can always take a minute to commend them to God in prayer. And brethren and sisters, if we get back to some of these old-fashioned, solid practices that have reared children and families and homes for God, we'll get a solid work for God. And 1976 will be a blessed year. Let's gather it all together. Are you saved? Are you beginning the year with God? Have you trusted Him? Are your sins forgiven? And now, as a child of God, at the beginning of the year, is your conscience clear? Have you acknowledged your sin and failure to Him and started out with a clean sheet and put your hand in His hand to be guided and directed by Him? Are you going to give Him and His things priority in your life, in the day and the week and the month that may lie ahead? If so, if all of us do this, and I say to you, my brethren, I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you this night. But if we'll just put this into practice, in the beginning, God. When I start any project, in the beginning, God. When I make any plans, in the beginning, God. Then at any moment, we'll be able to turn our eyes and our heart upward and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And this may be the year, brothers and sisters, when we'll meet Him in the air. Let's make it a year of walking in fellowship with God, whatever it may come. Shall we pray? I believe if I were to ask those of you in this service who would like to definitely dedicate yourself to God at the beginning of this year, I believe we would have happened what happened one other morning when I did that, and this was so crowded we didn't have room for everyone. I'm just going to ask you right where you sit, with God looking in your heart and this simple, plain message still in your mind, will you say to God right now, where you are, as for me, in the beginning, it's going to be God. The results will be recorded in heaven. We'll leave it with the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thine infinite love to us, love that led thee to give thy beloved Son to die for us. We thank thee for the patience that thou hast shown with us, some of us for many, many years. Thou hast forgiven our failures and sins. Thou hast recovered us from our wandering. Thou hast restored us to thyself. Now, Father, as we stand at the beginning of another year, not knowing what it holds, we would like to put ourselves in thy hands in a very real and definite way. Keep us, we ask thee, our God, from taking our own way. Keep us from pleasing ourselves. Help us to walk in thy way and to please thee. May thy blessing rest upon one and all. In the name.